Our next guest on Downtown is one of the most prolific and respected independent filmmakers out there. His newest film is getting tremendous reviews, entitled Digging for Fire. We're delighted to have Joe Swanberg with us on Downtown. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going great. How's it going for you? It's, I know, been a little hectic of late with a new addition to the family. And is it going to be another actor primed to steal scenes like your son Jude?
I can't complain, you know?
Your son Jude steals every scene he's in.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. He's pretty fun to work with. If you figure out the trick of bribing him with gummy bears, then he's the best actor on set.
It's actually what they use here to get me to do the show every day. It's pretty unusual. I'm counting something like 18 films in 10 years. There's prolific, and well, then there's just showing off. What's happening there?
I love making movies. I think what's happened is that the way that I work, combined with my energy and love of it, has resulted in this crazy amount of movies, which to me feels like, you know, there are big pockets of each of my years where I feel like I'm just killing time on the internet for months straight. But the sort of end result in terms of number of movies is a little crazy even to me. But, you know, I don't write scripts. I work with my actors, and we sort of improvise these movies from outlines. And, you know, oftentimes working with a group of people on one movie naturally leads to an idea for the next one. And because I make them for pretty small amounts of money, we typically can finish one up and sort of dive right into the next thing. And so I've just, for the last 10 years, been pretty steadily making these things.
Well, and you've got a terrific core group of actors, a number of whom that have become part of the stable of your films, people like Greta Gerwig, Anna Kendrick, Jake Johnson, Melanie Lynskey, Olivia Wilde, Jane Addams, so many very talented people. It's great, obviously, to work with them from your perspective, but it's got to be, as an actor, rewarding for them to be a much bigger part of that creative process through the improvisation.
I hope so. You know, I really... I attempt to give them as much creative freedom as possible. I really lean on my actors to bring a lot to the movies. I want them to feel like writers in that process with me. I want, you know, often let them pick their own clothes, choose their own character name. And so, you know, the goal would be that we would be having a sort of, like, big equal group collaboration, and then I'm kind of, as a director, just the, like, quality control, you know, just checking to make sure that it all feels like it lives in the same world and that there's an arc to the characters and things like that. But I have the most fun when I'm working with a group of actors who really feels engaged and involved.
Now, you also, when you're trying to save money, it helps, too, when you can use your own home as a location, which I believe you did in Happy Christmas. And most of all, I just want to visit your basement in that tiki room.
Yeah, well, anytime you're in Chicago, please drop me a line, and I'll make you a Mai Tai.
I love it.
Yeah, we bought this incredible house with this 60s tiki bar, and we bought it from a 91-year-old woman, and she said that they did all the work, and then they kind of, you know, their kids grew up, and they got older, and they stopped coming down here. So it's kind of perfectly preserved in this amazing time capsule quality. So when my wife and I walked into the house for the first time and saw it, I think we looked at each other and we were like, we have to have this house. This is the one. There's nothing in Chicago that's even close to as cool as this house.
We're talking with producer, director, actor Joe Swanberg. His new movie, Digging for Fire, is available, by the way, on iTunes, and hopefully will be playing around here in theaters. I know Railroad Square had it in for a special premiere, and I believe is coming back very soon. You're known as one of the leaders of the mumblecore movement. Now, we've had Mark Duplass on a bunch of times. He's a friend of the show. He's not crazy about that tag mumblecore. Does that shortchange your films at all?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. I mean, that's a word that's been around for about a decade now, and, you know, it comes and goes in terms of whether it's being used as a compliment or an insult. The word itself is pretty annoying in terms of a sort of catch-all for a group of filmmakers, but I feel lucky to have been affiliated with it, because when we started making these really small movies in, you know, 2004, 2005, you know, none of these actors, people know who Greta Gerwig is now, but they certainly didn't in 2005 when I was making a movie with her. And, you know, mumblecore as a term sort of became a way for people to hear about and know about these movies. So, you know, in retrospect, I acknowledge that it was, you know, played a large part in why the work found an audience. But, you know, it's still something that I feel like we're all kind of dragging around a little bit.
Well, the new one, I just had a chance to watch a couple of nights ago, Digging for Fire. It's absolutely wonderful, an amazing cast in it. And like so many of your films, explores all kinds of different aspects of personal relationships. And in this one, on several different levels, too. And I have to wonder, you go to so many dark and dangerous places in your films. Do you have to have a pretty secure home life and personal life to have the freedom to go to those places in your movies?
I think it helps. Yeah, I don't know if you have to, but I think that, you know, it provides a level of stability for me to engage with these things artistically, as opposed to maybe engaging with them as a kind of hurricane of personal, you know, my own personal stuff that's surrounding me. So often the movies that I'm making are sort of taking head-on subjects that I feel like I've already, you know, moved through. So Drinking Buddies, which was about a couple, you know, two friends at work who kind of have this dangerous flirtation, but they're both in these other relationships, and he's, you know, Jake Johnson's character in that movie is talking to Anna Kendrick about getting married, and they're sort of moving to that place in their relationship. Well, you know, at the point that I made that movie, I had already been married for 5 years. So, it, you know, it's sort of a way for me to process certain experiences. And then when I feel like I have a little bit of a handle on them, then I try and sort of make the movies.
Well, and Digging for Fire, too, you've got a couple, Jake Johnson, Rosemary DeWitt, with a young child and feeling the strain of that, as couples often do. Both looking for time for themselves, but also managing and trying to juggle various responsibilities. And one of the themes that runs through this film, and a lot of your films too, is not just the relationship, but the role of money in relationships. And clearly,
yes,
that's something that you talk a lot about in your movies.
You know, it's been really positive to talk about it in the work and to feel from people a sense of relief that it's being acknowledged. I think for a lot of people, it's a main source of conflict and a main source of discussion in their relationship. And then it's hard to look at the media and not see any of that reflected back at you. You know, we sort of hear, we only talk about money in terms of people going bankrupt or winning the lottery. You know, there's sort of not a lot of conversation about the day-to-day struggles of you know, living and existing and trying to do the right thing. And so in Digging for Fire, this couple is dealing with, you know, the conversation about whether they send their kids to public school or private school. Her parents in the movie, Sam Elliott and Judith Light, play her mom and her stepdad, who are offering to pay for their kid to go to private school. That makes Jake Johnson's character feel uncomfortable because, you know, they would be accepting a large amount of money and he would feel indebted. And you know, a lot of the things that I feel like my wife and I and our friends are attempting to navigate that I don't ever see in movies or TV. And so, you know, I think for a lot of people, movies and TV are an escapist medium, and they're sort of hoping to get away from those kinds of conversations about money and whatever else. But, you know, my relationship with the movies has always been one of feeling kind of grateful to see my life be reflected back to me, or at the very least to know that I'm not alone in some of the things that I'm struggling with. And so in my own work, I've always tried to put that stuff on screen, even if it's just as a way to say to people, you know, these are conversations that all of us are having, even if they're uncomfortable and even if we don't talk about them as openly as maybe we could or should.
You've talked about Paul Mazursky as one of the influences, and I see a lot of similarities to his work, and not only in portraying everyday life, but also in the opportunities that you give women, and working with them certainly makes that dialogue more real as well, but some of the best portrayals of women around.
Yeah, he is incredible. I mean, he, you know, really one of my true cinematic heroes, and somebody who, throughout his career, I think stayed committed to the idea of real people and of documenting, you know, real relationships. His sort of world that he inhabited was one of a kind of wealthy Beverly Hills, like, artistic community, which is, you know, you wouldn't think would be very universal, but one of my favorite things about him as a filmmaker is that he managed to take that specific context and then make it universal by being really sharp and intelligent and, you know, was just a great writer with a really sensitive ear for dialogue and for, you know, the way people speak to each other and interact with each other. I think, you know, Noah Baumbach is somebody who I think is sort of like the closest modern filmmaker to that tradition. I haven't seen his newest movie, but the movie he made, While We're Young, is the closest thing I've seen to a Paul Mazursky movie outside of Paul Mazursky movies. I think that he, you know, sort of somehow nailed that, the way of sort of like turning these human struggles into really effective comedy.
So I have to confess, I was a little late to the Joe Swanberg party, but I'm making up for lost time. I've seen about six of them now, and I watched All the Light in the Sky last night. It's just wonderful and so great to see somebody who I think is underappreciated, like Jane Addams, get the opportunity to show just how incredible she is. But now you're achieving what some would say is definitely more mainstream success, more acclaim. And, you know, there's that worry that fans have. It's like when you latch onto that hot band, that great band, before anybody else knows them. Do you find your fans saying, oh, I love that Joe's getting exposed to a wider audience, but don't change anything? Do you still want to keep telling these kind of stories?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have that relationship with a lot of my favorite artists and a feeling of, you know, ownership of somebody having stuck with them through their career or feeling like you were one of the early champions of that work. And so I really understand that. I mean, what's interesting about my relationship to that or sort of to what's kind of like becoming my body of work is, I just want to remain adventurous. I think that the filmmakers who initially inspired me and made me want to be a filmmaker, several of them then just kind of got known for a certain style and kept doing that thing, you know, to my mind, with diminishing returns each time out. And so you sort of have this amazing inventiveness early in their career and then sort of settling into a groove and, just a kind of remaking of the same movie over and over until, you know, just, like, drops off. And I don't want that to happen. You know, I'm more interested in treating each movie as a chance to try something that I haven't done before and, you know, to kind of keep exploring different contexts and different worlds. So I'm in a really interesting position right now where I'm still working in the same way I've always worked, only I do have, you know, there's famous actors and a little bit more money, though less than you would imagine, and, you know, a sort of a chance to play with a bigger canvas. And I'm just enjoying the opportunity because I know that it comes and goes. You know, I've been around long enough to kind of see that if you're going to be, you know, the kinds of filmmakers who are real heroes of mine, like Robert Altman, or Clint Eastwood, or Woody Allen, these guys who make at least a movie a year, sometimes more than that, you know, they go through waves of being in sync with the culture and the zeitgeist and making movies that are really working for people, and then often, you know, spending 7 or 8 years in the woods just trying things and failing over and over. But, you know, you learn, I would argue, more from the failures than you do from the successes. And the only way to get better at the thing you want to be good at is to do it a lot. And so every opportunity that I've had to make a movie, I've taken, I feel like. And, you know, with the real goal of, I'm 34, I just turned 34. Like, you know, I think the stuff I've made so far is okay, but, you know, I'm hoping to be making really good movies when I'm in my 50s, when I feel like I've learned a lot more and have a much better handle on, you know, the art form, my own ego, my collaborative relationships with people, you know, then it's like, okay, now it's time to like really make good movies. So, you know, this feels in a way like all of it's felt a little bit like film school, just in the sense that I'm still trying to teach, like treat each movie as a potential learning experience and a chance to like build out my skill sets.
By the way, I loved your conversation with Marc Maron. That was great. And one of the things I latched on to the fact that, man, oh, man, you were dead on The Conjuring. In a perfect world, that would be nominated for an Oscar.
I know. This is one of the things that's my biggest cultural gripe is that, you know, we want our art, you know, our quote-unquote art, our high art, to have all of these signifiers and... you know, a really well-made horror film is just, you know, never put into the same category as, like, a 12 Years a Slave or something like that, even if you haven't seen either of the two movies. You know, there's just all these sort of cultural signifiers around one of the movies being important and artistic and real, and the other one being, you know, schlocky and low-budget and whatever. But, you know, the job of the audience, I think, is to attempt to treat both things equally and let the work tell you whether it's good or not. And, you know, for me, something like The Conjuring, I just thought was such a well-made, well-acted, well-photographed, well-edited, just a really nicely executed movie. And there's just no chance in the world that it's going to be taken seriously at the end of the year, whereas other movies are sort of born into existence already feeling like these important cultural touchstone movies. So, you know, whatever. There's not a lot any of us can do about it, but I can at least go on Marc Maron and complain about it.
There you go. Hey, Joe, before we let you go, we've tried and failed many times, even though she's from Maine, to track down Anna Kendrick and get her on the show. Can you just put in a good word for us?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Yeah.
Appreciate that. Joe, I love your work. Thanks so much for taking time with us. Good luck with the new addition to the family, and good luck with the movie Digging for Fire, available right now on iTunes. Absolutely wonderful. Joe Swanberg, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Talk to you later.